Our second guest in this look back over 2013 and our look forward into the next year is John Daly. John, CEO of the Grattan Institute, one of Australia's leading public policy thinkers. Now, when John offered Sunday Extra his policy wish list for 2013, his central focus was workforce participation for women and older Australians. And he was also concerned about the all-must-have-prizes nature of our politics, that no decision can be allowed to create losers. Good morning, John. Thanks for joining Sunday Extra.
It's a pleasure.
Now, I want to start with something you said in our interview at the start of the year. You said the one thing policy analysis can't do is create political leadership. Now, we've had a change of government. We've had two changes of Prime Minister since that chat, in fact. Since we last talked, what about the state of political leadership on the economy? How is that travelling?
I think we've still got a way to go in terms of communicating to the public what the problems are and communicating the way that dealing with those problems will involve tough choices that will inevitably leave some people, at least in the short run, worse off. So in particular, the thing that's really, I think, permeated public consciousness this year is the challenges we have around the budget, particularly the Commonwealth budget. Clearly, it's been in deficit for a number of years. It's also been in deficit if you strip out the impacts of the mining boom and the financial crisis. And for a variety of reasons, we expect it will get worse, particularly the increasing demand for healthcare. The only things that are really big enough to make a difference to that are very tough choices. And until we have political leaders talking about the need to make tough choices, it's very unlikely we're going to make them.
Now, this was your paper from November, Balancing Budgets, Tough Choices, in fact, being the title of that piece of work. And in that, I mean, you pointed at some of those tough decisions, things like broadening the base of the GST, for example, things that would add to the budget bottom line, but involve that awkward political thing of being difficult and also perhaps creating some pain. That's still necessary?
It hasn't changed since November. Whether it's changed by next November, we will see. That paper also talked about the process of reform from governments that have successfully reformed their budgets, because there's actually surprisingly few governments, both here and overseas, that have really succeeded in this task. And there's a couple of things that really stick out in terms of those experiences. Firstly, the governments that succeed spend a lot of time talking about the problem. They spend a lot of time talking about the way that everyone is going to have to bear some of the burden in the short run. And you can look, for example, at the Kennett-Stockdale government, and whatever you think about it as a government, it spent a lot of time talking about the budget problem and explaining that all Victorians were going to have to bear some of the burden.
And the problem it inherited was significant as well.
It inherited a very significant problem. The other thing that you can really learn from that literature is that it's very difficult for a government to succeed in reforming its budget if it doesn't start reasonably early. So if you deliver a fairly, you know, easy-as-she-goes first budget, it's very hard to then summon the political will to cut hard in your second budget, because everyone says, well, if it's such a big problem, why didn't you do it first time around? And so I think the really acid test for the new Commonwealth government will be what its May 2014 budget looks like, and do we see cuts and tax increases or some combination of that that really materially change the bottom line.
John Daly is with you from the Grattan Institute. Now John, that process towards the May budget, in many respects, that begins in this coming week. We have the MyEFO statement on Tuesday, and that, I imagine, will begin this discussion about how bad things are and therefore sow the groundwork for the tough things that need to be done to correct that position.
I certainly hope so, although, of course, one of the big successes of the reforms put in place by Peter Costello under the Charter of Budget Honesty, there are not that many surprises anymore. And indeed, if you read the pre-election fiscal outlook, so the document that the Secretary to the Treasury and Department of Finance are required now to put out, it painted a somewhat grim picture in terms of, number one, where the budget is at the moment, and number two, in terms of where it may well go in future.
Interestingly, there's some discussion about how government departments have been told to load into the figures now. projects over the period of estimates to put all that money into the current budget to really try and stoke up the sense of deficit and emergency?
Well, there may be that going on, but as I said, actually, if you look at the documents, not only the document issued shortly before the election, but even those before that, if you look at the material put out by the Parliamentary Budget Office and the Treasury about the long-term structural deficit of the Commonwealth budget, it was all pretty clear. One way or another, we've been running a structural deficit of about 2% of GDP or more for the last 6 years. That's not a very pretty story. That's not a sustainable budget position. You can afford to do that for a couple of years, but you can't afford to do it for 6, 7, 8, 10 years in a row. And those documents were very clearly pointing out that that's what we have been doing.
We have a commission of audit. All government spending is being examined. This will form some sort of a framework for, one imagines, fairly large cuts to programs in the May budget. You'd suggest that that's precisely what's required.
That's precisely what's required, and then what's required as well, and this ties back to your original question about leadership, is the Commission of Audit is a buttress. It's not a leader. Its job is to call it like it sees it and then to lay it out, but it's always going to be the job of elected politicians to then explain to the public, till we're actually sick of them doing it, this is the extent of the problem. This is what our choices are. This is why we are all going to have to bear some of the burden. That job of explaining to the public what the problem is very much a job for our political leaders. It's one that they ultimately can't leave to things like a commission of audit, and that's what we will need to see if we're going to see effective leadership.
How did the Holden closure fit into that narrative, do you think? It's something which could have been given a better context with if there was perhaps a greater sense of leadership around the future direction of the economy?
I think that's a tough one because in terms of talking about a Holden, you're inevitably talking about the way that something very visible and very tangible will be replaced by a myriad of things which are much less visible, much less tangible, and inevitably much more diverse. And so it's a very difficult debate to lead. I think the other thing that's very difficult about it is that a lot of what is going on is about changes to the car industry globally, and it's at least historically been difficult for governments to explain that. I thought it was very interesting that the Prime Minister's speech on this to the Parliament last night very explicitly started to tell that story, and I think it's a shame that that story hasn't come through earlier. The car industry globally is clearly changing. It's clearly hopelessly oversupplied, so something has to close somewhere. And indeed, you can see in the decisions that General Motors is making that they are shutting a number of plants, and they're tending to shut the things in that are smaller and that are in higher cost countries, and inevitably that's going to mean Australia.
Let's throw forward into 2014. Let's just put a few dot points on the table, John Daly. What do you expect to be some of those key issues and political and policy moments, and what would you like them to be?
Inevitably, the budget situation is going to be a key issue. Whether, as I said, we have a government that's really going to make the tough calls that really change the situation remains to be seen. And if they do want to make those tough calls, then they're going to have to start looking in some very difficult places. So things like the very broad eligibility for the age pension, things like the very generous superannuation concessions for people at the top. I'm not suggesting we should abandon all superannuation concessions, but at the moment, a very large chunk of them go to people who have very high incomes. We're going to need to look at things like the age at which you can access the pension and access superannuation. That's one of the few things that both increases the size of the economy and improves our budget.
John Daly, thanks for your time. It's going to be an interesting year.
It will.
John Daly, he's CEO of the Grattan Institute, second part of our looking back, looking forward exercise this morning. Heard from Graham Samuel, heard from John Daly. Next, we'll hear from Heather Ridout.